Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, February 18, 2021. Authorities in Khartoum accuse Ethiopian troops of crossing into Sudan following a looming border dispute.
وما تاريخ القرار في الخرطوم أو أديس أبابا تعلم أن الذهاب إلى الحرب هو غفزة في المجهول.
Mohammed says decision makers in Sudan and Ethiopia know very well that going to war is nonsensical.
And health officials inspect institutions in South Sudan's capital to enforce COVID-19 lockdown measures.
We've seen that Minister of Health also, like what you've seen in Office of the Vice, there is no more posters about COVID-19. Displays inside or outside, which is very critical.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudan has accused Ethiopian troops of crossing the border amid a land dispute between the two neighbors. The dispute adds to tensions stemming from Ethiopia's massive hydropower dam, the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, on a Nile tributary, which Egypt and Sudan say threatens their supply of fresh water. For VOA News, Naba Mohiyadin reports from Khartoum.
This week, Sudan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs issued a communique saying Ethiopia made what the ministry called a disrespectful incursion into Sudanese lands. Ethiopian troops allegedly crossed the border at Al-Fashaga, an area that sits on the border between northwestern Ethiopia and eastern Sudan. The Ethiopian government didn't deny the incursion, but called on Sudan to stop its own incursions across the border. The dispute over Al-Fashaga goes back at least 50 years, but has flared up again since December, shortly after tens of thousands of refugees from Ethiopia's embattled Tigray region began crossing into eastern Sudan. In January, Sudan said an Ethiopian military aircraft overflew its territory, while Ethiopia accused Sudanese troops of crossing the border and looting from Ethiopian citizens. However, Sudanese political analyst Abbas Mohammed, based in Qatar, thinks both Sudan and Ethiopia could not stand the costs of a real war.
وما تاريخ القرار في الخرطوم أو أديس أبابا تعلم أن الذهاب إلى الحرب هو غفزة في المجهول.
Mohammed says decision makers in Sudan and Ethiopia know very well that going to war is nonsensical. There is economic development in Ethiopia and democratic change in Khartoum. Any war would threaten the gains in the two countries. But the ruling leaders are looking for enemy to defuse the internal conflicts. The border dispute adds to existing tensions over Ethiopia's hydropower dam on the Nile River tributary. Egypt and Sudan say the dam would reduce the flow downriver and threaten their supply of fresh water. Khartoum-based political analyst Al-Fatih Mahmoud says the dam is the driving factor behind the tensions. Mahmoud says the Ghur dam is the reason behind it, and that dispute could push the two parties into a skirmish and to sit together at a negotiation table, though it never has resulted in a war. Sudan and Ethiopia have welcomed an initiative by South Sudan to mediate the border dispute. However, Ethiopia said it wants an immediate withdrawal by Sudan's military from the border area in exchange for starting negotiations. Naba Mohiyadin for VOA News, Khartoum, Sudan.
South Sudan's National Task Force on COVID-19 is threatening to withdraw licenses of institutions that are not following the coronavirus preventive measures. A committee tasked with inspecting institutions began visiting government and private institutions to check on the standard operating procedures for preventing the spread of COVID-19. The chairperson of the COVID-19 audit committee says, despite a recent surge in coronavirus cases in the country, majority of South Sudanese are still not adhering to COVID-19 preventive measures. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Dr. Richard Lacoux, chairperson of the COVID-19 Task Force Audit Committee, says despite the recent surge in coronavirus cases, the task force has observed that people are not adhering to the preventive measures recently announced by the government, and the numbers are going up.
When you compare with the number of people who are tested, you'll see the positivity rate is very high. So that shows we had a serious transmission happening there. That's one. The second one, also at the public side, we've seen people are not adhering to the measures. When you go, people are not wearing masks and people are just relaxing, like business as usual.
Lacoux says the committee will enter facilities unannounced to see if they are following COVID-19 preventive procedures. He says the audit committee wants to make sure that various institutions are promoting behaviors that reduce the spread of COVID-19, maintaining a healthy environment, maintaining healthy operations, looking at the toilet and mitigating factors that can impact the COVID-19 second wave in the country.
We've seen that Minister of Health also, like what you've seen in Office of the Vice, there is no more posters about COVID-19 displays inside or outside, which is very critical. And also, we have, when we went in, we have observed like two staff who are not wearing masks. And we also have looked at the toilets. The toilets, one of it doesn't have some tissue papers and also doesn't have some sanitizer in.
Dr. Anthony Garang, Secretary General of the COVID-19 Audit Committee, says the panel is working with organized forces to make sure they enforce the rules, especially on pedestrians who don't want to wear face masks.
There will be a day where they will be stationed, you know, at the outskirts of the town, and then they will ask everybody to put on their masks or they go back home. So there is that operation that is undergoing now.
Garang says if the committee determines an institution is not following the directives, it will summon the head of the organization, who will be questioned by the National Task Force panel on why they neglected to implement all preventive measures and once the facility could be shut down.
The second thing will be, of course, suspension of the operation license of that particular facility, if it is a business, a shop, or an NGO, or a company. You know, there are penalties that can amount to suspension of the operation license. That means, you know, closure of business for a specific period of time. And then also for individuals, they will be banned from entering the facility if, for example, they are not wearing face masks or doing the necessary, for example, washing their hands.
Garang says security force will be stationed at different points to monitor if public transport passengers are wearing face masks. And if they are not, the driver of the vehicle will be suspended for a certain period of time as a punitive measure. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serena in Juba.
Still on COVID, South Africa is rolling out its first Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine, with President Cyril Ramaphosa getting the first shot alongside health workers. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
It did not hurt a bit, President Cyril Ramaphosa said Wednesday, shortly after he became one of the first South Africans to receive the hot-off-the-plane coronavirus vaccine at a public clinic in Cape Town's sprawling Khayelitsha Township.
First, I was a bit terrified of this long needle that was going to be embedded into my arm, but it happened so quickly, so easily. It was just a prick on my flesh, and I really did not feel much pain.
68-year-old President did ask the nurse if he could close his eyes before getting the one-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine in his left arm, just hours after 80,000 doses of this vaccine landed in South Africa. He smiled and laughed as he administered the shot, and the crowd clapped. But seriously, he said, this is a big deal. The first shots will go to frontline health workers at public and private clinics.
This day represents a real milestone for us as South Africans, that finally the vaccines are here and they are being administered. And I was rather pleased that there were five people who were vaccinated before me, and they are health workers, and it was a joy to watch them to see whether anything had happened to them, and gladly nothing had happened to them, and it means that being vaccinated is a fairly straightforward process. And I'd like to invite South Africans to take this up so that we can all be safe, we can all be healthy.
Wednesday's vaccinations could turn around what has been a disappointing narrative for the continent's viral epicenter. The nation carries the bulk of the continent's cases, with 1.49 million confirmed cases and 48,000 deaths. Earlier this month, South Africa received 1 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine. But shortly thereafter, it was followed by the disappointing announcement that a study conducted in South Africa found that this vaccine is not totally effective against the highly contagious variant of the virus that is prevalent in South Africa. Health Minister Zweli Mkhize told local media that another 420,000 doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine would land in the next 4 weeks, along with another 20 million doses of the two-shot Pfizer vaccine. In all, the nation plans to inoculate 40 million people, about 67% of the population. Anita Pal, VOA News, Johannesburg.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the first vice president of Tanzania's Zanzibar region dies from COVID-19. Stay tuned for that story after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Can you forgive and forget?
It depends. It depends on the situation or the fault that you did for me. Sometimes I forgive and forget. Other times I can't forget. I forgive, but I can't forget.
Yes, of course I forgive and I forget. First of all, if I forgive, my mind becomes clear to each and everything.
Of course, I can forgive and forget. Reason being, there are very many people who harm us, but we shouldn't always keep it at heart.
Forgiving helps because sometimes we overlook some other things. Because if, for instance, I do not forgive and forget, then what if the same applies to me?
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Modou. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The first vice president of Tanzania's Zanzibar island died Wednesday morning after announcing he was hospitalized with COVID-19. President John Pombe Magufuli, who claims there is no coronavirus in Tanzania despite mounting evidence, issued condolences without mentioning the cause of death. For VOA News, Charles Kombe reports from Dar es Salaam.
Announcing the death Wednesday, Zanzibar's President Hussein Mwinyi said he had learned with great sadness of the passing of Saif Sharif Ahmad, a prominent politician who was also the chairman of the Alliance for Change and Transparency Party.
Kwa niaba ya wananchi, nachukua fursa hii kutoa pole na salamu zangu za rambirambi.
On behalf of the people of Zanzibar, I take this opportunity to pass my condolences to the family, relatives, Alliance for Change and Transparency Party, and to all the people of Zanzibar, and ask them to stay calm during this mourning period, announced Mwinyi. He asked that the country has lost a patriotic and outstanding leader. Mwinyi declared 7 days of a national mourning and said flags will be flown at half staff. The cause of death has not been made public, but on January 31, Hamad was hospitalized in the archipelago after testing positive for COVID-19. He became the first person to declare his COVID-19 status in Tanzania since April 29, 2020, as authorities dismissed the idea the virus was present in the country. On a Twitter post, Tanzania's President John Magufuli sent his condolences to the Zanzibar's president and the people of Zanzibar, saying he was saddened by Hamadi's passing. "I have received with profound shock the news of the death of Honorable Maalim Saif Sharif Ahmad, the first vice president of Zanzibar," the message says. He also sends his condolences to the president of Zanzibar, Honorable Dr. Mwinyi, family, Zanzibaris, Wazalendo members, and all Tanzanians. Hamad was challenging Mwinyi in the October polls in the election that opposition claims was full of fraud. In December, Ahmadu Sonin is the first vice president of Zanzibar as part of a unit government. As COVID-19 information in the country is still unclear, the big question is whether the government will reveal the cause of his death. Charles Kombe, for VOA News, Dar es Salaam, Tanzania.
While in Zimbabwe, authorities have rolled out its COVID-19 vaccine program Thursday, with health workers getting the first of 200,000 donated doses of China's Sinopharm COVID vaccine. Zimbabwe's public health authorities say the more contagious COVID-19 variant, first spotted in South Africa, now accounts for 61% of the country's new cases. Public health experts fear the variant could overwhelm Zimbabwe's collapsed healthcare system. As Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare, authorities have deployed more security forces to enforce the country's lockdown measures. But rights groups say the tighter control will lead to more suffering and abuse.
Zimbabwean Information Minister Monica Mtswangwa told reporters late Tuesday they would tighten lockdown enforcement because the variant had become more common.
Results of the genomic sequencing recently conducted indicated the disappearance of the type of COVID-19 virus that the nation had in 2020. There is now a 61% dominance of the new South African variant of the COVID-19 virus, which spreads faster and has a higher fatality rate. Accordingly, the nation now needs to be more vigilant than before and adhere to COVID-19 prevention and control measures. Our security personnel have therefore been directed to intensify monitoring and enforcement in order to enhance compliance.
While the claim of a higher fatality rate of the variant first spotted in South Africa is contested, it has been proven to be more contagious. Zimbabwe shares a border with South Africa, which authorities say helped the virus and the variant to spread. While international health authorities are urging countries to heed COVID-19 measures, rights groups say some countries like Zimbabwe are using the restrictions to silence opposition. The head of Human Rights Watch in Southern Africa, Dewama Vinga, says Zimbabwe's government should instead focus on helping those in need.
The government needs to step in and support citizens who are in need and who are at risk of starvation. That the government is intensifying the enforcement of regulations by the security forces is in itself not a solution, because we have seen previously that the government has used COVID-19 regulations as an excuse to crack down on government critics and opponents. And this is what is continuing. So there is need for the government to ensure that there is no excessive use of force by the security forces as they monitor the lockdown. People should not be arrested and detained. Places of detention themselves are already overcrowded and present a huge risk for the rapid spread of COVID-19.
If the variant spread is not brought under control, Zimbabwe's public health experts say it could quickly overwhelm the country's hospitals. Dr. Pamela Magande is president of Zimbabwe's College of Public Health Physicians.
We already had a health system that was in need of improvement before this COVID. I think we have a window for us as a country to make sure that our health system goes to where it's supposed to be, to improve. A good number of our district hospitals cannot even give patients oxygen. And then we have already started with the vaccine, continue with that while monitoring safety and the adverse events following immunization.
Zimbabwe on Thursday will launch its COVID-19 inoculation program after the Chinese government donated 200,000 doses of China's Sinopharm vaccine. COVID-19 is the illness caused by the coronavirus. Zimbabwe's government says once enough vaccine doses are acquired, it plans to eventually immunize 60% of the country's estimated 14 million people in an effort to achieve herd immunity. Zimbabwe currently has more than 35,000 confirmed infections and seen 1,414 deaths from the infection, according to the US-based Johns Hopkins University. Columbus Mavunga, for VOA News, Harare. Yeah.
Uganda's opposition Unity Platform Party has petitioned the UN Human Rights Office over alleged human rights violations and state-inspired abductions. Relatives say their loved ones are still missing after they disappeared in the lead-up to the January contested election. Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni, who was re-elected to a sixth term, has called the abduction reports false and claims only terrorists were arrested. For VOA News, Alima Athumani reports from Kampala.
The National Unity Platform Party headquarters was filled Wednesday with relatives of people who have been reported missing before, during and after the January elections. Crying mothers and former abducted young men narrated their tales amid some tears. Ayebare Halima is a mother of two, including a three-week-old infant. She tells how on January 24th, seven police officers went to her home and arrested her at gunpoint. She was then taken to police headquarters in Naguru, where she was threatened and questioned about the whereabouts of her husband, Kenneth Mukasa Seguya. She says she was pregnant when police officers questioned her. Once they were done, she says they told her to go home, but warned that if they failed to find her husband, they would arrest her instead. She says 3 days later, her husband called and told her he had been arrested. Ayabare says her husband was then brought home and police officers took People Power branded T-shirts, some jackets and red berets. She said they then left and took her husband, and she still doesn't know where he is or even if he's alive. Ayabare says one of the arresting officers gave her a number she could call if she wanted to know where her husband was being taken. When she called, however, the officer who answered then insulted her and warned her never to call the number again. National Unity Platform officials report that more than 300 of their members countrywide remain missing. It is for this reason the party president, Robert Kyagulanyi, better known as Bobi Wine, is petitioning the United Nations Human Rights Office in Kampala. He says it is painful that Ugandans have no local human rights institution that can come to their rescue.
General Museveni feels like Uganda is his compound, Uganda is his property. He has the right to pick and kill anybody at his will. He has the right to torture anybody, to murder anybody, but we say he does not. And that is why we are petitioning the United Nations.
However, President Yoweri Museveni, in a security address on Saturday, said these disappearances are not the culture of the current regime and army leadership. According to Museveni, the heavy deployment ahead of the elections was because he heard of plans by some lawbreakers to stop the elections.
And in the case of Kampala, we also brought a commando unit which had distinguished itself in fighting in Somalia and which had destroyed ADF. It was deployed in the Kampala area. And this group quickly defeated the terrorists who had started operating here. They killed a few who tried to attack them and arrested scores of those lawbreakers.
Heavy security was deployed and roadblocks were set up on the route leading to the UN Human Rights Office in Kampala. Six journalists sustained head injuries after being beaten by military police officers as they camped outside the offices. A UN human rights officer who preferred anonymity, speaking to VOA, said they would not comment about the petition since the cases are confidential. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility
For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
We love to hear what you think about this show. Send us your short comments on issues in our news or what is happening in your area. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Barani by Colonel Mido.
Barani dungangba turonyo, eri se iri moro el songangbe ye, animangi he auro koto sende, wamakwi ya muhe waduhe, mangba turonyo. Mufunga ni ria he frani areme, muvrani shigani engapaye, wanovwe oguyo, na engapaye kuchirani, kamungbe angafrani batayo, sa asadaya unumutukrani, chikwe barapaye, Chipari mungbe gangamwe, natandwe natalimwe, yaye kinzi, amina.
Barani du mbangba tulonywe, barani Dungwangba turonywe
Esilimono ensongangbeye Esilimono ensongangbeye Animangi he auro kwato sende Animangi he auro kwato sende Wamapia muhe wadwe mbangba turonywe Yawe
Barani Dungwangba turonywe Barani Dungwangba turonywe
Esilimono ensongangbeye Esilimono ensongangbeye Animangi he auro kwato sende Animangi he auro kwato sende Wamapia muhe wadwe mbangba turonywe Yawe
Mufunganiria efrani alime Mufunganiria efrani alime Mufrani chigani
Engapaye
Mufrani chigani
Engapaye
Wanofwe
Ogwe
Nengapaye Kamungu yanga frani
eh?
Esa asadaya Chegwe kwera paye Chegwe kwera paye Chipari mungi gagamwe Chegwe kwera paye Chipari mungwe gagamwe Natandwe natalimwe Yaye kinzi
We've been listening to Colonel Mido with the song Barani. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing and wear a mask if you're in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.